Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls and revealing some stats about everyone's favorite activity, sex. I even have someone on from my own life to talk about how I've directly helped them master a few techniques in the bedroom. So trust me when I say this is going to be a fun one. Topics include who's using lube and who's not. Advice to help to turn your sexual guilt into sexual confidence. How to handle it when your parents don't like your partner. And the importance of the clitoris and why it should be wined, dined, and 69'd. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com because it's a party. We have so many great blogs and posts and videos and amazing things happening there. So you can have better sex and relationship, especially this month because it's May. It's masturbation month. That's a real thing. So thank you for celebrating my 13th masturbation month since I've been doing Sex with Emily. I believe it's been around as long as Sex with Emily. Trying to remember. No, I think this is my 13th. So if you're just joining me, this is a big friggin' month. This is the month where it's all about you and your self-pleasure. And I know some of you are thinking, isn't every day masturbation day or every month all about masturbation? Well, I hope so. I hope for your case that you are masturbating all the time. But some of us need a little reminder and we need to think about how masturbation can actually benefit our sex life. Because it does, you guys. When you're in a relationship, it doesn't mean that masturbation stops. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't please yourself. And so we are also want to support you in upping your masturbation game this month by having a contest. And I want to know specifically, how has masturbation benefited your life, your sex life? What has it done for you? Like specifically, what did you learn because of masturbation? What tricks, what tips, how does it calm you down? How does it change your life? Email me feedback at sexwithemily.com by June 7th to enter. And we'll give you some super sexy prizes. And although we love detail, we're all about storytelling and great details here. Let's just say this. Keep your submissions on the shorter side. If you think it's too long, it probably is. Also, you can find me on social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. I love hearing from you. I love when you message me. I don't love when you send dick pics because if you do, I block you. So you don't want to do that. All right, sound like a plan? Now let's move into some sex in the news, and I'm going to introduce my very special guest. My guest is Ben Morrison. He is a comedian and an actor, and what else do you do? He makes me laugh a lot.
I write.
He writes.
I try to elicit your tiniest, cutest little laugh.
He does make me laugh a lot. I thought we laugh together. You should be on the show with me.
Aww.
And talk to me about... Do you think you're prepared to talk about anything?
Yes.
Sex, relationships, because I've got some things to throw at you here.
Literally anything. And I'm honored to be here during Jerk Off Month. As a practitioner of jerking off, I feel that this is the only month I can really be me.
Mm-hmm.
Just approach people on the street, give them a high five.
How has masturbation like helped your life?
Oh,
helped your sex life?
I think it's the central staple of my existence, I feel. It's like checking.
That's why I don't get to see you nearly
checking
enough.
Checking in with God. Yeah. I feel like it's very important. And I feel as far as sex goes, masturbation for me almost feels like practice, you know? I just think to myself, she's going to get some of this later.
Really?
Let's just warm it up for her.
Okay. You think that. You're like, this is not for me. This is for, or how lucky she is.
Yes.
Because you love your penis.
When I am done, I send out rays of sexual energy. To whatever partner
I'm going to
you, for example. Just I psychically blast out sexual
semen.
Intent.
Sexual intent.
Which I call semen.
Right. What do you think about women and masturbation? How often do you think women masturbate?
I don't really know, actually, because whenever I've asked partners what their masturbation habits are, the answers have always really varied. I mean, some girls have, you know, they're every day, and some are like, I don't really do that at all. I think that the answer is a lot more consistent for men as far as frequency goes.
Right, like every day.
Yeah, I mean,
often, right?
How often do I go to bed?
Right,
and I think
you do. Right, you masturbate for bed.
Not every time, no.
Often,
no.
Right,
enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I think masturbation for couples is incredibly important because that is literally the best way to figure out what your lover actually wants.
Mutual masturbation.
Every couple should literally just watch their partner for like half an hour in detail, because just take notes, man. That's your cheat sheet.
Right. That's how you learn. You're like, this is how she touches herself, whatever they do. Yeah.
I play video games, man. That's the Konami code. That's the up, up, down, down, left, right. Your nerds will get it. But like, that's the way to get 30 lives. Just watch what she's doing. That's what she wants.
Oh, okay. Right. Good. Good. That's so true. I like it. Well, here's the thing about Masturbation Month, and I hate saying, like, I don't want to stereotype here, but I typically think this month has a lot to do with, helps women a lot, because I think that I don't have to remind men to masturbate as much as I do women, because it is true that we don't have sex as much as top of mind as much as men. We're not like, oh, it's there, it's hard, it's not, it makes me sleep. We just kind of think, oh, it's more of a process, or we think that it is.
Yeah,
and we're
not
going to remind ourselves. But I feel like the thing about masturbation is, for women especially, the more we do it, the more we masturbate and we get in that routine, the more we want to, kind of like working out. I can never think of another better analogy that the more you do it, the more you want it. And the other thing about masturbation, especially for women, is that's how we figure it all out. I mean, I used to think that it was my partner's job to figure out my body, and I realized through very intensive and long-running masturbation sessions that I've learned a lot about my body. And I've surprised myself. I used to think that I don't know that if you knew this about me, Ben, but I'd never had a internal orgasm until I started my podcast. I assumed that I could only have a clitoral orgasm because that's all I ever experienced. And I thought that something was wrong with me, or that like...
Up until 13 or 14-ish years ago, you'd never close to...
I just thought I couldn't.
G-spot simulation, squirting, nothing?
Nope.
Really? It was all just tucked? Top of the bean.
Yeah, top of the bean. Top of the bean.
Top of the bean to you, mate.
Exactly. Flick of the bean. That's what it was.
Fancy a flick of the bean, mate.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So I'm just telling a lot of women, men, we all just assume that the way we can orgasm is sort of set and that it can never change. And I'm here to tell you that through exploration.
The thing is time spent,
you can have orgasms.
The thing
that
about
will blow your mind.
Sexual pleasure is, you need to understand, there are so many holes on a human's body.
Right?
And to think that all the action happens in one little spot on top of one of the holes is ridiculous. Especially when, if you stick shit in the holes, it feels different. All three of them feel good in a different way.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
You can mix
play
and
with
match.
All the holes with consent.
You got to use your holes.
Use your holes wisely.
Use your holes.
Okay. So I'm glad that you're here though, Ben, because I want you to help me break down some important statistics that have just came out. Skin Condoms Sex Survey Reveals. So this is the realities of millennial sex. Okay. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out, so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Quick to judge. While respondents claim they don't think of women or men differently for having multiple sexual partners, 54% said they perceive women negatively for having multiple sexual partners. Women are especially hard on each other, with 61% of females looking poorly at women. Okay, so this is like this age-old thing that people say that women are harder on other women. Women judge women more than men do. What do you think about that? First of all, why are people so judgy and people having multiple sex partners? Like, it's such a double standard.
Well, first question, is this a survey of millennials?
Yes.
So the results are millennial skewed.
They're millennial skewed, right. Which is what, people who are up to the age of 36 right now? 22 to 36.
Uh-huh. So we have to keep in mind when talking about these statistics that these are a generation that have grown up with
being all judgy.
Social networking.
True.
And the literal accumulation of like markers being a big part of their existence. So I think maybe they'd say they're more judgy than they actually were. You know, I think for women there might be a jealousy factor of the fact that they are able to have multiple partners because that represents a freedom that men seemingly have. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's like you said, what isn't different about this generationally is that men are seen as conquerors and women are seen as sluts when they have multiple partners.
Right.
I do think that is that's shifting. I mean, that's going to take a long time to fully equalize.
I do think it is shifting. I think like in the moment, like they're going to say one thing, but the interesting part is there's contradictions in this survey because it says most people, and that's 67%, said they don't care about someone's sex number.
Right.
So they don't care, but they're going to judge you.
Gender-based, how does that work?
Yeah, 67%. Men and women, like total, right? Most people, so 67% total of men and women say they really don't care about the number.
But women are harder on women.
Women are harder on women. I just really think, if anything, now is the time for women just to get behind women, support women.
Yeah, I found on a whole, and I want to phrase this gently, that women sometimes aren't really the biggest fan of women. You know what I'm saying? Like, women who have small social groups, they're good. But a lot of times women can be very nasty to other women when it comes to sociological ideas. Like, I think they can be. I mean, I think what I'm saying is backed up by that statistic, is that I think women are very aggressive towards other women when they decide they want to be. In a way that men aren't.
Right.
Or in a different way.
It sometimes has to do with, like, biology. Like, women are the ones who are like, we have to find a mate, and we see other women as competitive to us, as threatening.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of like you said, biologic breakdown going into that. You know, whereas men are just, we're not stupid enough to really know the intricacies.
I mean, this is how I feel, but I feel like I've just always nixed women. Like, the second I find a toxic woman, and if I find a woman who's talking about other women, I automatically decide that's not someone that I want to be close to. And I think that's the way to kind of end it. To me, it is. It's very uncomfortable. Women like, that bitch, she's da, da, da.
Yeah, never doubt the power of unfollow and block. Dude.
Unfollow and block.
You can take someone
block
out of your existence.
I'm all about, exactly. That's another easy thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Cut just them.
Wield the block like a weapon, man.
Right. Don't mess up the show. I might block you out. The other thing, smart is sexy. More respondents think that having a sense of humor, being smart, and good looks are sexy attributes.
Well.
At least you're, yeah, right? Sense of humor. Funny. For men, being good looking is the sexiest attribute. Shock. Nothing's changed here. Followed by sense of humor. Being fun and honest. For females, sense of humor, number one.
Uh-huh.
Being smart. And confidence are sexy.
This is the survey.
Yeah.
From...
No. Do you want to hear it? It kind of is. But let me tell you this one part that is not no shit. That's shocking.
What?
Here's a stat that I'm saving for the end. That's baffling. Makes zero sense to me. There's been a 17% decline in the neck being chosen as an arousing body part. It went from 31% to 14%.
Yeah.
Why would the neck all of a sudden in 1 year not be sexy anymore?
Because vampire movies aren't cool anymore, dude. Twilight had its day in the sun. That was so 10 years ago.
But it's in the year. I was thinking vampires too, or like something. Like, why is that? And I love the neck is like one of the most underrated erogenous zones. Like, kissing the neck, and being around the neck, and the neck is like sexy?
Yeah.
That was a shock. That was a shock. That part just, we had to take a day off work here trying to figure out why the hell that happened. Poor neck.
That no one likes the
Kiss
neck anymore?
Neck. Yeah, I guess so.
Oh.
Here's the final thing. This is confusing to me as well. 46% of people dating multiple people always use lube, but 26% of people in committed relationships, like, they use lube most of the time. Only 26%.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people don't use lube just all the time, so it just baffles me that
well, I think
there's not a lube on every nightstand yet.
You got me into the Joe.
Into Joe's the awesome. Joe. Yeah. Do you like it?
Great.
Do you use it for masturbation?
No, I don't. I've always just been a dry guy.
But why though? But what
clean
do you
up.
Think
it's all clean up.
But you already are cleaning up anyway.
I know, but when it's the difference between having to wipe down one small area on my tummy versus
your tummy.
my little tummy. I've got to wipe my unborn.
But lube, you could
off my stomach, off my tummy.
But you can wipe off right. This way you don't.
But if I get my cock all lubey, I'm gonna have to take a shower.
But you could still. But baby wipes can wipe off the lube too.
Yeah, the thing
and
is though,
smoother.
If I'm slathering my dick in something, I'm gonna want to feel like I'm getting it off effectively, and I just don't think baby wipes really do the job.
Okay, we have other things for you. You can visit the sex toy closet before you leave.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But I think.
What the lube statistic? I think that makes sense, right? Like if you're sleeping with multiple people, you're probably invested enough in sex that. You know,
you're like, I got my artillery here.
It's going to be a hot night.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got the lube. I got the rubbers. my Apple Music chill playlist.
Do you have a playlist for sex?
No.
No, you don't?
No. Okay. I have a really good hip hop playlist that I sent you that you still have never listened to.
I have listened to it.
Have you?
I do. I have.
Okay, cool.
I think. No, you sent me the rock one. I listened to that.
I sent you the other one. Rhyming Words. I swear to God, it's in
called?
Your phone.
I got it in my phone.
Yes.
I'm having phone problems.
Hi, this is Ben Morris, and I'm here interviewing Dr. Emily Morris, and we are really going to get into the heart of what it's like to have sex with Emily. The number one most requested question on my podcast, Interviewing Emily.
Ben and I have had sex.
We have.
Yes.
She really has all the lube that you think she has. Like your listeners are probably like, her nightstand, you probably pick it up and it's just nothing but lube. And I'm here to say it really is. It's like a ball pit made of lube.
It is. There's like hundreds of bottles of lube.
And she's given me a bunch of like little lubes and I love them, but I don't have like a container to keep them upright and like they're small. So they'll turn over in the night and then I'll go to get like some baby wipes because I've just, you know, I need to clean up. The children I'm never going to have. And then I put my hand in the drawer because it's right next to my bed and I'm reaching for baby wipes and it's like, and it's like, I pull it out and it's covered in Joe, which is phenomenal lube. But then I'm like, well, this is a predicament because my hand is gooey and I want to clean up something else is gooey and I just need wipes.
I have wipes though too, by the way.
You do. You have a lot of wipes. All wipes are not created equal though, and this is a good tip. This is because I'm a big proponent of baby wipes. If you're gonna get wipes for masturbation, go to the diaper aisle because those are actual wipes to clean up with. Those are not flushable wipes, right? Okay, there are two types of baby wipes. The ones that are flushable.
People are obsessed with baby wipes.
Absolutely, they're incredible. They're incredible.
Bad for the environment.
Especially for masturbation. Nothing's better at wiping up babies. I'll tell you that much right right now. So if you're going to get wipes for masturbation, you don't want to get the flushable kind, right? They're a totally different fabric texture, okay?
Okay.
Those you get next to toilet paper. Those are the flushable ones. Keep those in the bathroom. For your own personal care, go to the diaper aisle and get the baby wipes that are not flushable. They're a much better texture. I prefer Pampers brand.
Okay.
I was a Huggies man for a while.
I know. You just then became Pampers, right?
Just
you told
Pampers.
Me about this. You were so excited.
It's more of a fabric-y type texture. I feel they're of a higher quality.
Good.
If you will.
Have you learned anything about sex from me since we've been having sex?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've learned a lot about sex from you. I think the biggest thing I've learned from you that the biggest thing I can directly point to you having helped reprogram in my mind is clitoral stimulation, because previous to being with you, I had my move. It was a more aggressive type thing where you put your mouth over the clitoris and you kind of flick
that
it.
That was a move?
Not a move necessarily, but that's what I thought. Stop it. I'm opening up to you, goddammit. Oh. And you didn't like that because you prefer much gentler.
Well, more so initially, than I don't another. Want. I don't want like
well,
a
I'm not treating
suction
it like
suction lawnmower.
It's not like a Rocky movie. I'm like hitting the speed bag, but
okay.
But so. I didn't realize how much more gentle I needed to be when it came time for.
So no, in all the other clitoris that you've run into in your life,
clitoris, there was,
yeah, clitoris,
a pack the of clitorati. Wild clitoris, a pack of wild clitoris bound upon the plane.
You've never. So you thought. So what I've taught you is that that's. But let me tell you something, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Is that that's my clitoris. So we have a few other clitorises in the room, and they might. I don't know that they would want that. So I've taught you that about myself,
fellas. You just but gotta. Just gotta lick it like an ice cream cone.
But I can guarantee you that. If that was your move that you did.
Stop calling it a move. That makes it sound like.
Just more aggressive with the clitoris. Most clitorises want to be like cuddled and like swooned and.
Taken to dinner.
Taken it legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your clit got movie pass, so that's nice.
But I never use it. I think if we started thinking about the clitoris as something that does need to be wined and dined and 69'd, then that the world would be a much happier place.
Yeah, well,
so I tell you about the clitoris that's going softer on the clitoris. There's other things to do. So tell me about the clitorises before me.
Oh, when I look at the clitori of my past, a tear comes to my eye. Many clitori.
Yes, I'm sure.
Have I seen with my fly? Such a complex guy. Now, the thing is, I've seen a lot of different vaginas in my day, and the actual makeup of the vagina wildly different,
vulva.
You know? It's like a snowflake made of skin.
Right.
There are no two are the same.
The vulva is the exterior, you know? Part of the vagina.
You can so identify people from their fingerprints and their vagina prints. Right. Like, it's a match. But easily the most consistent thing from woman to woman to woman is the clit, you know? And I think that's why you've opened my eyes to answer your question to the benefit that men can get as a lover from learning everything they need to know about that little motherfucker, because that's the heart of the engine. You know what I'm saying? And then once you develop an understanding, and it really is based on how your lover likes it. Cause like I said, I've been with people that like their clitoral stimulation to be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure out how your partner's clit works, how it likes to be, introduced, you know, does your clit like to, do I knock on the door or do I just stay in the car and honk and the clit comes out? Like,
it's so many different ways.
Courting the clit is a very unique process from lover to lover.
True.
And I think as a lover, if you can learn how your woman's clit likes to go out for a date, then the sex coming after that is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, it takes some time.
Yeah, because if you can prep the clit, that tells the whole vagina.
I feel like you're just getting this like today. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a revelation I've been saved for when I'm finally on your podcast. And I have notes, many binders.
Okay, cool. What else do I want to ask you?
What have I taught you about sex? Looks like we got to take some calls.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Shout out to our sponsors. I love them, and I love you all for listening. We'll be right back. We had an oral sex miscommunication.
Yes,
I'm just going to bring this up.
Yes.
So, okay.
We did.
We did because
when we first started doing it, I whipped out my air quotes move. And you don't, in the moment, your sex notes are not really like, oh, baby.
I like kick.
What if you did this? No.
I like drop kicked like, your head away like, from my pussy
no,
or something.
Stop. No. Stop it.
I didn't say no, stop it. I would never say that. I think I got up and went to get some water.
And then didn't come back.
No.
Who are you texting? I thought I was going down. I'm sorry I did the move.
It wasn't even a move. It was like, it was so clearly a move though, because it was like this thing
that
you're like,
I'm going to be,
you did. You're
no,
like,
no, I don't.
No, you did. You're like, you were trying to be a vibrator, which I thought was sweet.
That's what I call the Billy Bob Thornton from Sling Blade. That's what chicks want when I go down. I'm like,
if I wanted my vibrator, I would have gone to my other nightstand. One is filled with lube. One is filled with 100 sex toys.
I know.
I would have gone to that one.
Vibrators and lube. That's what you find at Dr. Emily's house. But this has been this has been a progression, you know.
It is.
It's been a progression to understand how someone's body works, and frankly, we could have been better about communicating.
Okay, where can people find you?
At Ben the Morrison.
He's funny. Go find him on the interwebs. Thanks,
find
Ben.
Find me on the interwebs.
Okay, now we're going to get on to your calls, and I love answering your questions. It's why I exist. Why am I here on the planet? If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. Fill out the short form, or you can go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab. And if you want to be called, which I love, it's simple. Just enter yes on the would you like to be called question. And please include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks. Okay, we have Ellen. She's 24 from Seattle, and she wants some book recommendations for a Catholic guilt girl. Hi, Ellen. I'm so glad you called in. How can I help you today? Tell me what's going on.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, thank you for answering my question. Well, I want maybe some book recommendations about how to be more open and comfortable with my sexuality, because I grew up with a Catholic guilt and just seeing sex like as a bad thing and just not being comfortable with my body and being able to just not overthink and let go when having being with another guy, even with like with dating and stuff like that. And I want to be, I don't really date, so I want to go into it and more be more open, just comfortable being myself and like not overthinking, not feeling pressure to do anything, because I feel like ever since I was very young, I felt like a lot of pressure of having to have sex with a guy, or if not, they won't like me,
right,
or stuff like that.
Got it. So you've had sex with people you don't want to, you just felt the pressure about it.
Yeah. It all, since I was young, since they were all older, I felt pressure of having to have sex with them because they already had sex, and it's just something I had to do. So since I was young, it became a thing of not doing it for myself, not because I deserve pleasure or I want pleasure. It was always to give them.
Okay, I get it. And that's how
Right.
And I get it. And you know what? I'm so this is such a good call, Ellen, because I know that this call and your story is going to help so many of my listeners, because you know, no matter what kind of environment we're brought up in, I think that women are socialized to believe that we have to have sex to please men, and it's about their pleasure and not our own pleasure. So, and like, and then as a result, we don't really take the time to like figure out what makes us feel good. And then you get all the guilt on top of it. It can be really challenging for women. So a few things I want to say is you asked for a book, and the book that I think that would be great for you is Sex for One by Betty Dodson. It's called The Joy of Self-Loving, and it came out in like 1996. And to this day, I think it's one of the best books on female pleasure and masturbation that really talks about shame and guilt and just how to like learn to love your body in a way that is just really healthy and that will make you feel good and kind of move past a lot of the shame that you have. So I would start with that one. I also think that just shame in general, because you mentioned shame, I love everything that Brené Brown's written about shame and vulnerability. If you like to read, she wrote a book called Braving the Wilderness, The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone. Have you heard of Brené Brown? It's B-R-E-N-E Brown. Those are two books.
No, I have.
Okay, so she just writes a great book about shame and the role it plays, and she writes about vulnerability and confidence. So those are two great books, but especially if we're talking about sex, I would say Sex for One is a good place to start. But if you feel like a lot of it is also not just the physical stuff, but psychological, like you can't get over this like guilt, like you're letting your parents down, you're letting the church down, you're not, you know, I mean, this also, you know, therapy. I'm a huge fan of therapy for this stuff. If you find that you just cannot get yourself to do any of these things. Like it doesn't feel right to touch yourself, or it doesn't feel right to have sex because of these messages, it can be helpful just to talk to someone about it, so you can really kind of untangle where you came from, so you can get to where you want to go with some healthier messages.
Yeah, totally. I've actually recently started therapy, and I think that it's helped a lot.
Oh, good.
And just even with therapy, along with also like just exercising more and becoming more comfortable with my body.
Yes, honey,
and
you're doing
that is just gaining like that confidence and just feeling more sexy and
And I yes, I feel like I'm going to get there.
Okay, no, I do too. See, that's I would say that too, because for women, we have so much body shame, but it's true. Once you, when you exercise and you're healthy, you know, it matters like how you treat your body, what you, the kind of food you eat. Being, living a healthy lifestyle will absolutely help with that self-confidence, that sexual confidence, because when you feel comfortable in your body and you're taking care of yourself and you're talking, you're in therapy talking about this, I think you're doing it. I think it's great. And you'll get there. And you're 24 years old. So this is a process. And what I love is that you already know this about yourself. I mean, there's women who spend a lifetime, right? Like, and they're like, oh, I never felt good about it. So you're taking it right now. You're taking care of it. You're prioritizing yourself and your pleasure. And I love that. You're on the right track.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Ellen. Cool. Keep going with it. Not, it doesn't just go away in a day, but it's a process. Okay, you're so welcome. Bye, Ellen. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. God, I love this question, you guys. I think that so many of us can relate to having some kind of challenges around body image, around trauma, around shame. I mean, anything that's holding us back from having the very best sex of our lives. And a lot of it has to do with our thoughts and our feelings about ourselves and about what we're doing. And so I love that trifecta there of exercise, being healthy, talk therapy, and, you know, reading as much as you can, educating yourself. I think these are all ways to move past it, because I'm telling you, focusing on your sexual pleasure and your sexual health is just as important as focusing on exercise, spirituality, your business, your job. This is just as important. So I love that Ellen is demonstrating that for all of us. We have Jay, 39, from Massachusetts, and he wants to know what we can do to make sex a better and longer experience for the both of us. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling in. Tell me what's going on.
So the wife and I are struggling a little bit with oral on her end, and she's very sensitive to it, and we're trying to figure out how to make it last longer so she can... We can enjoy it longer, I should say.
How to make oral sex last longer?
Yes, for on her side, yes.
Okay. So does she enjoy it, but it just gets to be too sensitive, or she doesn't?
Yep, exactly. So minute or two in, she's just overstimulated, too sensitive to even touch.
Okay. Yeah, that happens for some women. I understand that. Okay. So, like, yeah, paint the whole picture to me, and then we'll break it down. Oh, is that your main question then about her clitoris? Because we can start there, that for a lot of women,
yep,
they are really sensitive. And so it just means that it helps to not go right for the clitoris, just to play with her labia, inner labia, pubic mound, everything around the clitoris. Does that turn around if you just don't, if you kind of work around it?
We've been working that, but even that, we get to a point in that where it's still, the entire area basically gets overstimulated, I'd say.
And is she able to have like multiple orgasms during intercourse?
Yes, with penetration, yes.
Okay, so there is a thing that there's some women that their clitoris is way too sensitive, so that's a challenge, but women who have way too sensitive clitorises often have multiple orgasms, which many women can't have. So it's kind of like a side effect. A really good one, though. That's a common scenario I've heard about. So she just might have a really sensitive clitoris that just isn't comfortable to oral sex. So there might not be any getting past it, but it's great that she has multiple orgasms. So I would say, how fun for you guys. You can kind of work on different positions and different ways to have sex. They just don't include oral.
Okay, I think we've found the answer.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah. All right. So that's a condition. And yeah, I don't think you're going to get around it, but just keep up in that, you know, having fun with some positions.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're so welcome. Bye, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. So yeah, you guys, that's the thing. If you've been struggling with a sensitive clitoris, there's a good chance that maybe you're having multiple orgasms, which a lot of women would kill for. So I think just work on different positions and different ways to achieve those orgasms and just lay off the oral sex. Okay, we have Sylvie. She's 26 from Baltimore, and she says her parents do not like my boyfriend. Sylvie, thanks for calling. Tell me what's going on.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So my parents don't really like my boyfriend because of several reasons. The main reason why I wanted to get your insight was about my parents' disapproval of me having any sex life at all. And they have not ever talked to me about sex as a child. And I mean, now as a full adult, they still don't believe that I should be having any some sort of like sexual encounter with anybody until
I get married. And they have been really, really clear and very, very severe with their words about how I should not be at all doing such a thing. But at the same time, I don't think I have the same value as them when it
sounds
comes
like you
to,
don't.
You know, marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like having sex is part of having a relationship. And,
it is, honey. You're 26 years old. So, you're 26 years old and you live with your parents? Or you see them
yeah,
often?
Yeah, I do live with my parents. Yeah. Okay. They come and go because they have another house in a different country. So they come here to check up on me and my brother. But then they're also very apprehensive about leaving because I'm in a relationship and worry about me having sex
right.
in the house.
Right. So, oh, I mean, God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is like a obviously like a cultural thing. I mean, you know that, it, you know, it's important to have sex. They never talk to you about sex. Most people's parents don't talk to them about sex. But when you have an extra right. layer of it, like it's a cult, sounds like it's part of your culture or religion, that it's like not okay. And so that's really hard because it mm-hmm. sounds like you're also really close with your parents and you don't want to disappoint them. Letting them know that you're a grown woman and you're going to make your own choices is important, mm-hmm. but it sounds like they might not be able to hear that. Plus, you're still living in their house. So they feel yeah. like they can mm-hmm. still control what you're doing. I just don't know, like, if there's, I mean, do you, and you truly believe, you know that you're not doing anything wrong. Like, you're making these decisions that, like, when you're having sex with your boyfriend, do you feel, are you having good sex? Are you having satisfying sex?
Yeah, I enjoy having sex with my boyfriend. And it's not like I'm having unprotected sex or, I mean, I'm very responsible about my actions.
Right.
So it's like when they come at me and say like, oh, you know, you don't even have a job because I'm a student. And, you know, what if you get pregnant? And it's just like I don't. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you have two choices. I mean, really, it's like you just don't engage him. Like you can just be like, yeah, mom, I hear you. And you're just like, you know, okay, I hear you. Yeah, I'm taking necessary precautions and you don't engage, right? Because they're not going to change. You're not going to change your parents' mind. Their parents said the same mm-hmm. things to them. And it's like literally like there's nothing you're going to say. Like, you know what, honey, Sylvie, you're right. Start having sex. So you either just don't engage mm-hmm. for now because you have to mm-hmm. live under their roof, or you make the decision mm-hmm. that you can figure out how to get a job and move out and start, you know, paying your own way, and which will happen right. eventually. But until that right. happens, it sounds like you don't really have a choice other than just to like not engage them in this conversation.
Through.
Yeah. And just to hopefully not take it in that you're doing something wrong and that you're guilty and that you're violating their beliefs, because it's not rational for the life that you're in. Maybe it worked for their life to wait till they got married mm-hmm. and to only have sex for procreation. You know, who knows I'm not sure what mm-hmm. where they're coming from, but mm-hmm. I just knowing that, you know, you're not going to change them. And that's a big part of life as we get older. We like to blame our parents for a lot of things. And there's a part that where you realize, and a lot of times in our 20s, we accept our parents for who they are, for loving us, and for doing the best they can with whatever tools they mm-hmm. came to the table with. Like, their parents treated them the same way. So you love them, you accept them, you thank them for their feedback, and you live your own life. And I don't like that you have to live right now hiding, like living a secret life in them, especially because you see them all the time. So your other choice is to mm-hmm. be like, no, I'm doing it, you guys are wrong. And, you know, but it doesn't sound like that's going to end well for you.
Yeah, because they're pretty headstrong about what they believe in.
Right.
So I just have to endure through and hope for me to move out soon.
Yeah, I really hope you can move out soon. And I hope also that you're not taking any of this shame on when you're having sex. Because if you are, there are some tools, you know, therapy. Sometimes we don't realize it. We don't even realize that we're hearing these messages from our parents. But mm-hmm. you can kind of undo a lot of that by going to therapy, talking to people, reading some books about this, about shame and sex that might be able to help you. But I don't have any solutions for you other than to, like, you know, unless you think your parents are open to listening, it sounds like they're not. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I hope that's helpful. But I don't think there's not like a magic thing to say. I know parents like yours. I've heard this story many times. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. What do you think about that? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you so much for your insight, Emily.
Yeah, you're so welcome, honey. But I just don't mm-hmm. want you to take it in with you and still enjoy sex with your boyfriend. And, you know, you're not doing mm-hmm. anything wrong. And when you feel, if you ever feel up to it, you can confront them. But just know that it's going to be a long road. So you'll do it when you're ready. Maybe when you move out and you don't have to rely on them.
Yeah, exactly. So I just have to wait it out and just...
I think you do.
Push through, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And, exactly. you know, and again, just don't engage them. You know how to handle your parents, so... Just say, okay, mom.
Right.
I mean, it sounds disingenuous, but that's what you got to do. So to live in peace with them and with your life for now, just for now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Sylvie.
Thank you so much,
Thanks for
Emily.
Calling. Have a great night. Bye, Sylvie.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
You guys, here's the thing about family. Well, if you're still living under the roof and they're paying the rent, you kind of got to do what they say. And you also have to realize that, like, with religion and culture and all this stuff, like, it's going to be hard to change our parents' mind. The other thing is, I didn't have a chance to ask Sylvie how long she's living under her parents' roof. Hopefully she won't be there much longer, because also if you have to endure something for another, you know, few years or 5 years, she's still going to be living with them, that could be a challenge. So Sylvie, I would say to you that it's probably time to maybe start looking for a job, becoming independent, so you can start to live the life that you want to live. But sometimes we just can't get our parents to get over to our side. And the more you accept your parents for who they are and know that they love you and they're doing the best they can, the much easier life is going to be. Took me a long time to learn that lesson. And once I stopped trying to change my parents and accept things from them that they cannot give me, life was a lot better. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you to my amazing listeners. I love you all. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Jenny, and volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.